I'm David. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I've experienced a lot of victory in Celebrate Recovery. I mean, God has done some amazing things in my life. I am a new creature in Christ. You know, Jesus has done remarkable things. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about my Savior tonight. And your Savior. And your cell phones. And so, be a good time to probably deal with the cell phone issue. Let me just start by telling you a little story. I grew up in a home where you had to be right. Anybody grow up in a home like that? I mean, you just could not be wrong. And there were severe consequences in my house for making mistakes and being wrong. Some of my earliest memories are of my dad just raging at me and belittling me because I couldn't get my homework right. And, you know, I can remember being a dad and feeling, you know, some of that bubbling up inside. It's like, you know, being a dad and teaching your kids to drive, you know, it's just, but my dad didn't have any control over those things. And then, you know, like a lot of you, when I got to school, I found out that, you know, kids could be brutal to other kids. You know, kids were just brutal to each other. And you had to be right in school. Everything had to be perfect. And you just couldn't be yourself. Couldn't be yourself. And so, you know, I learned to be somebody else. I learned to be somebody else. And I thought it was just important to be right. I had to be right in everything. I learned to be right. And I also learned that nobody really likes that, and nobody likes to live with somebody that's always right. But if you're always right, you don't really know that, right? I mean, you're just not getting it because you're right. And so that was going on in my life. I brought that into my family. I brought that into my marriage. When I gave my life to Christ when I was 26, and I was a non-religious kid, so I mean, that was a huge, huge change for me. And so some of this rightness and some of this stuff sort of settled down a little bit. Some of my attitudes softened. I began to read the Bible, and a lot of the storms in me settled down at that time. Much of the prideful self-image that I had, not all of it, but much of it, kind of settled down and found at least a reasonable place to dwell so I could live with other people. But I never really dealt with the voice of the past. So fast forward, I came to Celebrate Recovery. You know, I had been on a path with Jesus for many years, but I still had all these issues, and I didn't really know I had them. I mean, you know, part of the denial. Some denial is willful, you know, you probably know that, and some of it is just blindness, you just don't see it, and I had both willful and blindness. But when I came here, I was literally at a crossroads. I was at a place where I had to make some big decisions about my life, what the rest of my life was going to look like. And so we're going to talk about Principle 7 tonight. We're going to talk about Step 10. These were very important areas for me in dealing with this crossroads issue. In fact, I sometimes refer to crossroads as crisis roads. Okay, you know, if you're at that point in your life and you got some big decisions to make, you are probably got a little crisis going on inside of you. And I had some big decisions to make. Seemed to me that I lacked the locomotion or the energy or the spiritual fervor to make those decisions. I was just like treading water. Okay, you know what happens if you tread water in the ocean? Yeah, you could be. Well, the predictable result is you will drown. I mean, you have to move forward, or you will sink. And the same is true spiritually. If you aren't moving forward, if you're just treading water in your spiritual life, you sink. And I was sinking. I was actually underwater. I probably had a snorkel, but I just didn't realize how much was left before I got to the top of the snorkel, if you know what I mean. So we're going to just deal with that. I was in a desert place. I was in my step study the other night, and a bunch of great guys in there, and some of them were sharing that, you know, after the first few months of step study, they were just zealous for Jesus. Life was great, and now they'd just kind of leveled off, and they were kind of dry and in a desert place. And some of you guys might be able to relate to that. It happens. So I believe this lesson's paramount to getting us back to the zeal that we first had when we met Jesus. I certainly, that's my prayer, that you get something tonight that just makes you really, really connect with the truth and with the Savior, and that it really energizes your path to just plow right through the crossroads and keep on your journey with Jesus. So here we are. We're going to deal with steps 10 through 12 and principles 7 and 8. That's kind of the end of the whole step study teaching. We started this in September, if you remember. And so we've worked through, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, you've come a long way if you've been here that long. Let's just read the principle first. Let's not just dwell on it. Principle 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to find the power to follow His will. Step 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. And the verse, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. That's where I've been. That's exactly where I've been. So how did we get here? Okay, we've been going through this for about 8 months now. We dealt with facing denial. If you've been in a step study or if you've been working the steps along with us during the teachings, you know, we have dealt with the fact that what we're showing the world is not real, and so the mask has to come off. We have surrendered our life to Jesus. We have made Him our higher power. Some people say we invited Him into our heart. I think that it's much more than that. I think we just literally have to surrender to Him. We've taken inventory. We've taken an honest look at our life. You know, we've listed all of the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the ugly stuff about our life. And then we confessed it and shared it with somebody that we trusted, primarily a sponsor, accountability partners. We certainly shared it with God. Intentionally or unintentionally, He got it. And we confessed it to ourselves, which is usually the biggest hurdle, is just even being able to say to myself, David, you're a liar. David, you're a cheater. You know, David, you're an adulterer. David, you're whatever you are. I mean, to be able to actually say the things that we have never said and the secrets that we've kept, we did that. Pretty cool step when you do it, by the way. Then we became humble enough to let God really start to take over and make some changes in our lives. And some of you guys, I have just watched remarkable changes in your life. You are new creations in Christ. It's so cool to see. And then we became willing to forgive and to make amends. And then we did it. We actually asked somebody to forgive us that we had offended, you know, and we forgave people that we had harmed. And that took a big load off of us. So here's where we are now. We've come through a very big part of the journey. Now I call this part of the journey, by the way, and don't get me wrong, I'll probably have to clarify this, and I'll probably be answering you on Facebook and emails for weeks after I say this. That part's the diet. Okay, you walked in here out of shape. You got the heavy dose of Jesus in a hurry, and we've got you in some kind of spiritual shape. But you can't stay on the diet forever. You got to move into the lifestyle, because diets always fail, don't they? I mean, how many people try to diet in here? Yeah, it doesn't work. You can only eat celery for so long. And with half a strawberry, you know, if you're really spurgy. But you can only do this for so long. At some point, there has to be feeding and growing and maturing. And so that's where we're coming to right now. We are in what some recovery groups would call the maintenance phase. I find that absolutely appalling. We're not maintaining, we're growing. Okay, we're growing. We're going to start feeding ourselves and strengthening ourselves. We're going to grow in the Word of God. We're going to grow in service. And we're going to begin to just keep a daily inventory of who we are and what we're about so that we stay on the path with Jesus and we don't just wander off. John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of you discovered the truth in here in Celebrate Recovery. The world pitches all kinds of stuff at you, and you got no standard to compare it to until you discover Jesus, and He's the standard. And then Jesus went on to further define the truth in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, and I am the truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. I am the truth. The total personification of the truth is Jesus Christ. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. See, the Father can only see perfection, and the only way to get perfect is through Jesus Christ and through the truth. So we've been set free from our addictions, some of our obsessive, compulsive behaviors, because of the truth that we have embraced. That's really what we're doing. That's Jesus. And because of the life-changing decisions that I've made, that you've made, Jesus has come in and he's built a new foundation for our life. We're now standing on a rock instead of shifting sand. That's what the scripture tells us. But principle 7, step 10, we're here because it's a crossroads. We've gotten all of that. It's not a place to stop and rest on past accomplishments. I got Jesus, I'm good now. You know, I know a few worship tunes, I'm good. You know, I got buddies at church, I'm good. You know, I don't go to the bar anymore, I'm good. Okay, that's, you know, some of that is not going to sustain you. So, number one, we need to thank God for getting us this far on our road to recovery. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us this far. We need to praise him for the victories, the big ones and the little ones. Okay, maybe you haven't gotten over the drinking, but you've gotten over the raging. Whatever the victory is, you need to praise him for the victory. For any of the victories you have over the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups from the first 9 steps. But we also need to continue these last 3 steps with the same devotion and enthusiasm that got us to this point of our recovery. Underline the word enthusiasm for those of you that feel like you're lacking it. The word enthusiasm is actually from the Greek, and it means God within us. That's actually what enthusiasm means. I had to do a sales meeting one time. I'm a sales trainer by profession, and or have been. And so I was sent to a big company one time, and they wanted me to teach on the word enthusiasm. And they had a different definition of enthusiasm than I did. It was a very uncomfortable sales meeting as I was explaining Jesus living inside of you, and somehow that's going to motivate you to make more dog food sales, because this was a dog food sales company that I was talking to. It's a different story for a different day. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Our acrostic for the night, I was going to get to it. This is step 10, so the acrostic tonight is 10. Pretty simple, huh? 10. T, take time to do a daily inventory. This is so important. We're going to talk about it. E, evaluate the good and the bad. N, we need to admit our wrongs promptly. So T kind of answers the what's this all about stuff. What it's all about is we need to evaluate ourselves continuously. Are we walking with Jesus, or have we strayed? You know, and you can stray a long way and not know if you're not watching. Lamentations 3:40, you hear it in here all the time. It says, examine your ways and test them and return to the Lord. We always test something against a standard. And the standard is Jesus. Where am I in relationship to what Jesus says? Jesus is going somewhere. He's always going somewhere. The disciples, every time you see him in the flesh, you see the disciples following him. They're following him. They're not following Peter. They're not following John. They're following Jesus. He's going somewhere. Peter's over here. You know, test. Make sure you're back on the path with him. So when you do this daily inventory, you need to ask yourself, what good did I do today? Was I helpful? Was I kind? Was I affirming? Was I generous? Was I godly? In what areas did I blow it? I usually have more stuff written on this part than I do the first part. Was I sarcastic? Was I angry? Insulting? Envious? Dishonest? Sinful? Prideful? I'll stop there, okay? Do I owe amends? I like to wrap mine up, because I do this every day. I like to, what did I learn? And I usually have a little message that I write to myself. Here's what I learned from this. I want to become alert and mindful of how I live. That's what we're trying to do. Remember, before we came here, most of us were just an automatic pilot. We were just out there. We were just doing our thing. It doesn't really work. You know, we need to begin to evaluate every day where we are, how we think, how we process, what we say, how we interact with others. You know, one of my God gives us all gifts, right? And one of my gifts is I have a real quick motor. God just gave me a quick wit. But it's also my greatest weakness. I can react or really overreact very quickly. I can be very sarcastic. I have a very sharp tongue. And because I know this, it's important for me to evaluate every encounter I have with everybody every day. Because I can offend you so fast and not know it because of what? The fast motor, right? It's already moved on. I've offended you and I'm already over here somewhere and you're crumpled in the corner. That's been one of my biggest sins. And so in my journal, I deal with the sarcasm and the rapier tongue that I have. And God has been taming me, and I'm becoming mindful of it. Are you becoming mindful of the things that are going on in your life? That's what we want to do. We want to conquer these things. When I first came to CR, I was struggling with anger. I had become very resentful of some people very close to me because of some of the great issues they had in their life. I just would react to these people because I wasn't getting the desired results. And this, of course, you know as what? Codependency, right? Codependency. I'm reacting, I'm expecting a result, I don't get the result, I react again, and that cycle just goes on and on and on, and we call that codependency. I was a huge codependent. I didn't even know what the word meant. Okay, this, of course, was where I had stopped growing. This was my crisis road. This was my crossroad. This is where all of that great fervor I had for Jesus had just kind of lost its steam. And my joy had really abandoned me. I was just treading water in the ocean. That's what I was doing. I was a Christian, treading water in the ocean. And I was drowning, and I didn't know it. My first step study identified these issues for me. It was amazing. But it was the continuous personal inventory after the step study that has really helped me to refine it. Because I can tell you, my first inventory was big. It was heavy. I delivered it to my sponsor. And he didn't say anything, and I thought he was going to go, wow, that's great. And he sat there so quiet, and he's probably thinking, dude, you got a lot of work to do. So, you know, I continue to do it. This is step study number 4 for me. Personal inventory has helped me to set good boundaries for myself. Because as I see the patterns in my personal inventory, I can begin to say, okay, I recognize this. We're not doing this anymore. E, evaluate the good and the bad. We always say balance your inventory. You're not all bad. You're not all good. Okay. I'm really evaluating my walk with Jesus. That's what the E is. Am I close to him or have I strayed? Have I drifted? You know, when I'm drifting, the truth is my joy is declining. And when I'm close to him, I notice that my joy is increasing. It's really the peace in my heart and the joy that I have are the measure of how close I'm walking with Jesus. That's why the evaluation is so important. For me, I had to face the need to be right, the wrong expectations that I put on other people, the need to appear better than I really am. And the control of my sexual thought life. All of those things had to be controlled. They would drift. My daily inventory deals with those things. They were not godly. Christ would not approve of that part of my walk. And so when I was walking that, I was walking alone. And you know what? When you're walking alone, you're not getting the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God in my life. What are you dealing with? Everything needs to be evaluated in the light of God's word. Everything. Everything in your life needs to be evaluated in the light of God's word. If you want to enjoy the blessings of God, if you want to be healed, if you want to walk in power, you want to walk in joy, you want to feel like you're inspired and there's real locomotion in you, you need to evaluate your life in the light of God. You know, one thing that really helped me deal with these issues, honestly, too, is the Bible is full of God's promises. They're full of promises. And those promises aren't for all the eternal. Some of them are very eternal, but some of them are right here in the flesh. You know, one of my favorites is in Matthew 6. Given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, poured into your lap, more than you can possibly contain. means a lot to a guy that's supporting a family. But it means I can't be a taker. You know, if I want to enjoy the blessings of God, I need to be a giver. So I need to evaluate my life based on that. But it also gives me the incentive. I know that God has a reward system. It's awesome. It's a reward system that he has. He built us this way. One other thing that I've learned that has delivered me from the bondage of having to be right or to do things right is that it's not really about doing things right. It's really about doing the right things. It took me a long time to figure that out. The Bible doesn't talk about too much about doing things right. You don't see that in biblical language. You see a lot of biblical language talking about doing the right things, making good choices, making wise choices. I got that from doing my inventory, believe it or not. I was comparing my inventory to the scriptures, and by the way, I have a Celebrate Recovery Bible. I would recommend that to anybody. It is amazing. It has all the resources in there. If you don't have one, pick one up. It's amazing. But, you know, I had always been trying to be right, do things right. It was all had to be right. No, I need to do the right things. 1 John 1:8-10 says, if we say we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. There's that word truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. We're refusing to accept Jesus. That's exactly what that verse says. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we are lying and calling God a liar, for he says we have sinned. I'd be scared to call God a liar. Yeah, that one would be just a little over my head. The end. We need to admit our wrongs promptly. It's easy for me to say I made mistakes years ago. That's pretty easy. You know, when I was young, I made some real serious mistakes. I mean, you hear old guys talk like this all the time. Yeah, when I was young, boy, we really lived hard. What's hard to do is say, my bad, I really blew that. I just screwed that up. I am so sorry. That's hard because that's in the present, that's now. That confronts me as to who I am, not who I used to be, okay? It's real easy for me to say who I used to be was wrong. It's real hard for me to say who I am is wrong. But you know what? That has to be conquered. We need to admit our wrongs promptly. We need to make our amends quickly. God had to reprogram me on this one. He had to humble me. I had to be right. My self-image required it. That's the mask that I was taught to wear. That was the familiar territory that I always ran to. In principle three, though, I made a decision to live in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my image and his image can't coexist together. My image has to die in order for his to live. He humbled me. I realized that humility is actually a virtue that brings great, great blessing. Much blessing comes from it. You cannot imagine how many times a day, I'm an employer too, by the way. I've got employees, I've got a family, I've got all kinds of people around me. How many times I have to say I'm sorry every day. It is amazing how often I have to say that. And I couldn't do that years ago. Could not do it. Why? Because I was taught you had to be right. There were severe consequences for being wrong, right? The old tapes, the lies, not compared to the truth. The truth is, I don't have to be right. I just have to do right things. Okay, that's the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23-24, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship, the church, and you're about to make an offering and you suddenly remember a grudge that a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Look at the priority God puts on this stuff. Come back and work it out with me last. Go work the grudge out. Go work out the grievances and the resentments and the issues inside of you first. Then come and work it out with me. It's an amazing order of things that God created. So in other words, admit your wrongs properly. It's just much easier than waiting. By the way, the longer you wait to admit you're wrong, the harder it is to do. So much easier to say my bad than to go sulk and then let my pride well up and dig my heels in and then have to go back and do it, which is the way most husbands do it. Guilty. All right, let me just wrap this up, okay? One way to easily keep track of your good and behavior and bad behaviors is just to keep a journal. I can't tell you how important journaling really is for you. And it's not, your journal, by the way, is not for recording the amount of calories you ate today, okay? I mean, I see some of the journals around, okay, or, you know, how much money you spent. This one is really for your character stuff. And so record the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life. Then read it. Look for the patterns. Pray about them. Ask God to show you about your life. Maybe you've gotten sober and celebrate recovery, but now you've got a pattern of poor job performance or verbal abuse or anger or whatever it is. Okay? Guess what? That's the next character defect that God's going to work with. Don't be ashamed of it. Let's just embrace it. God has exposed it. Let's embrace it. Recognize that God is not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. There's more work to do. It's not about being right. It's about doing the right thing. Thank you.